Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The book of Revelation is a mystery. Full of symbolism, scholars have wrestled with its meaning for centuries. But this much is clear. At the end, the good guys win. A glorious future awaits the redeemed of all the ages. Today, more glimpses into your eternal home. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the mysteries of God. Now join us to learn more about our future with God.
Now God says, it is done. The old order has passed away. It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Notice this, to him who is thirsty. That's the passage I was thinking of. To him who is thirsty, I will give the springs of water without payment. Again, symbolic of the fact that in heaven, our needs are going to be different, but they will be fully and totally supplied. Earlier in Revelation, we read this of the saints before God. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, let this bless you. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. And once again we read, and God shall wipe away all tears out of their eyes. All that, God is going to satisfy us. More than that, we're going to actually be like God. I'm back now in chapter 21, where we were. You'll notice it says, he who overcomes, I'm in verse 7, will have this heritage, and I will be his God. He will be my son. Dr. Donald Carson of Trinity Seminary, who spoke about this, and I was greatly blessed by his message, points out that there's a lot more meaning there than we realize. It isn't son in order to somehow designate male over female, because obviously daughters of God are involved. But he said that in ancient times, people generally, sons, had the same vocation as their fathers. Today that's not true. He always asked the congregation, what I'm going to ask you now. Come on, you men. How many of you are in the same vocation as your father was? Could I see your hands, please? Oh, notice just a sprinkling of hands, maybe 2 or 3%. But in ancient times, your dad was a baker, you're a baker. Your dad was a farmer, you were a farmer. Your dad was a carpenter, you were a carpenter. And what God is saying is, he will be my son, is he's going to be like me. We're going to be, let me put it this way, we're going to be as much like God as it is possible for a human being to be. Of course, we'll never be God. You know, in this series, I never even had time to explain to you that there are communicable attributes of God and those that are non-communicable. A communicable attribute, one that he can communicate to us, is something like love. God is love. We should love. God is merciful. We should be merciful. He's filled with grace. We should be filled with grace. Now, he also has non-communicable attributes, all the omnes, omniscience, omnipresence. All of those can never be communicated to us. But imagine this. We are going to be so holy and so pure that, first of all, we're never going to have to ask forgiveness for anything. Isn't that great? Yeah, those. You're never going to have to ask your mate for forgiveness. Isn't that is heaven, I think, probably. Yeah. Come to think of it. Imagine our thoughts being so pure that we would not mind if Our wives knew what we were thinking, all the details, our daughters, our mothers, the people in the church. It would not matter to us because the thoughts are so pure and they are so without shame that the innermost part of our being that has been made holy by God would be able to be in his presence and never again would sin come between us. Johnny Erickson Tada, you know her story, quadriplegic for 40-some years, said that when she gets to heaven, the thing that she looks forward to is not so much that her wheelchair will be able to be parked in the vestibule of heaven and sent somewhere below. You can fill in all the details. She said what she looks forward to is being in the presence of God directly with no sin ever coming between. And later on, the Bible says that the New Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb, the bride of the Lamb. I have to skip here to the verse here that talks about that, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. That's verse 9. Those of you who have never been married, I have a word for you. You may think in this life that you've lost out on the joys of marriage, and to some extent, maybe you have, although history would testify that not all marriages are joyful. I thought I'd throw that in at no extra cost. But here's what I want to say to you. 10,000 years from now, you will never believe that you were robbed of anything, because you will be the wife of the Lamb, the bride of the Lamb, with every joy, every fulfillment, every bit of ecstasy that you could possibly imagine. You're going to be part of that. Now, as we read this, we come to a shocking contrast. Shocking. You'll notice it says, to the one who is thirsty and the one who overcomes, he will be my son. That's, I think, verse 7. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars will have their portion in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Wow. Not going to say too much about that because I will near the end of the sermon and explain to those of you who are involved in those sins how you too can make it into the holy city. What grace. We'll comment on that in a moment. So first of all, we're going to enjoy God, and then we're going to enjoy one another. Now we get, of course, to the holy city, and I don't have time to tell you about its dimensions and the different kinds of jewels and precious stones. Remember this, John is trying to think of ways to describe what he saw, and he runs out of words, so he uses analogies. For example, he doesn't say that the New Jerusalem is a bride. He said it's like a bride. He's lost for words. He's grappling to communicate with us the beauty of what he is seeing. So he sees this city. Now, it is generally believed that it's 1,500 miles or so square, a cube. There is a book written by a woman by the name of Janet Willis, who lost 6 children and did a detailed study, and she comes to a different conclusion. I'm not going to talk about that as such because it would need more exposition, but it's based on the book of Ezekiel. But let's, for our purposes, continue to believe that it is a cube. There's only one other cube in all the Old Testament. The only cube is the Holy of Holies. So this city now becomes the Holy of Holies, and we should not be surprised at that. It isn't a temple. The Bible says there's no temple because God and the Lamb are the temple of it. But here you have the beauty of this city. And notice the scripture says that the foundation are the apostles and the prophets, the 12 apostles and prophets. The gates, I believe it is, are the 12 tribes of Israel. You have the church and you have ancient Israel for whom God had distinct purposes, but they arrive together here. And the gates of the city, I won't take time to read it, but it's there, they'll never be closed. When you go into this city, you will not have to show your ID. You know, you won't have to be buzzed in. The gates are never closed of this city. Day and night they are open. And by the way, you never get tired. You never say, I have to sleep. No bedrooms in heaven, thank you. Because we all have glorified bodies. And we recognize one another? Absolutely. We're all going to recognize Bill Burchie in heaven. You'll recognize your mother. You'll recognize your wife. You're not given in marriage the way we are here, of course, but we'll recognize one another and we will connect. I don't think we need name tags, personally. That's based on a different passage, but can't prove it, but I don't think we need name tags. We'll know each other intuitively. And I think the reason it's a city, you know, the Bible begins in a garden and it ends in a city because city life, you live together in community. Well, you know, my friend, as I try to describe heaven based on the book of Revelation, I really do come to the point where I know I can say the words, I can read the text, but at the end of the day, it's very difficult for us to be able to grasp all that God has planned for us. All that we know is that it is going to be an eternity of joy, no more tears, no more death, no more parting. We are going to be able to connect as human beings, but of course, at the end of the day, what it really is all about is Jesus. God will be in the midst of the throne. We'll have an opportunity to serve him, as we're going to learn in the next message in this particular series. We will be serving him throughout all eternity. You say, well, what does that involve? Well, we don't know very much about that, but we don't have to know. All that we have to know is that it is indeed planned by God. Now, if you're enjoying this message, you should know that it's part of a larger series entitled The Mysteries of God. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how the entire series can be yours. We're coming to the end of the series, but I hope that you listen next time as we continue to talk about our future with God and as best as we can explain what that entails. Thank you so much for your love, for your support, for your interest in this broadcast, because together we want to make it all the way to the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Our Future with God, the last in a series on the mysteries of God. One day, the New Jerusalem will be home for believers of all ages. Next time, more about that future home. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.